League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
But the guy who did the digging, and again, his book is Winning Fixes Everything, How Baseball's Brightest Minds Created Sport's Biggest Mess. It's Evan Drellick of The Athletic. Evan, appreciate you joining me despite some confusion that was created by me as far as the actual start of this interview. Let's just go into when you started to put this book together. What was your main goal?
You know, I had covered the team, obviously, for basically 3 years, 13 into 16. And I knew there had been issues before. There had been cultural issues with the Astros that I had covered, some other scandals that I lived through there. You know, the hacking, Brady Aiken, kind of a general perception problem the Astros were having. Porter gets fired. 2014 was a pretty crazy year. So Ken and I break the story. And I'd stayed in touch with Astros people, and I felt I knew well what was going on in the organization, and believed that there was a larger story to tell, that it wasn't just, okay, there was a cheating scheme. It's, well, how did we get to the cheating scheme? How did we get to a point where four people are fired and you have this massive scandal? So that's really what the book was undertaking, and I hope and believe it succeeded there, was presenting all the context for this.
There's definitely a lot of context, and as I skimmed through the PDF version of the book, and I'm looking forward to just sitting down and actually reading the whole thing through, a lot of people, Evan, because there's obviously going to be some fandom here in Houston, are of the belief that while the Astros did cheat, that other teams cheated, and that the Astros were perhaps made the scapegoat of it. You had access, of course, to what was going on with the Astros, given that you covered the team for a couple of years. I guess my question is, and clearly you did a lot of digging, but how much digging has been done across baseball into really the entirety of this? Because as you highlight, I mean, this is something that the Astros thought the Yankees were doing back in 2015. You've had a Yankee sign-stealing scandal, though not as big as the Astros one, a Red Sox sign-stealing scandal, which was significantly bigger than that of New York. It feels like baseball wants to walk away from this entirely, but I'm curious as to, like, how much deeper do you think it goes than what you were able to research?
Let me give you kind of a long-winded answer.
Okay.
I think the conversation starts with, does one team's cheating justify another? Does someone else's crime justify yours? And, you know, we see this in cheating generally. Well, what's the reporting always been on Barry Bonds? Why did Barry Bonds start using PEDs? Because we saw Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa using PEDs. Does that justify Barry Bonds using PEDs? So that's one question for people to consider on their own. If another team is doing something wrong, does that mean it's right or, you know, acceptable for the Astros or whoever to then also do something wrong? Second part, for as much as you hear people say, oh, everyone was doing something, the evidence doesn't show that. The evidence shows that veteran contending teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the book has reporting on the Dodgers, had been using a base runner system, meaning you were using your video room to decode signs, get it to the dugout, get it to the runner on second base. So there's evidence of veteran contending teams. There's not evidence, except for people, you know, third-party finger-pointing allegations saying, everybody was doing it. Well, you know, show me. You know, the thing that separated the reporting that Ken Rosenthal and I did at The Athletic on both the Astros and the Red Sox was that it was from the inside. It wasn't just random Joe Schmo going, random player going, oh, yeah, I think those guys are up to no good. But it's not really evidence of it, right? And so there's got to be some threshold of that. Third part, and kind of piggybacking off that second part, there is no known evidence of a team doing something as egregious or flagrant as what the Astros were doing. You can have a separate debate about whether the severity of cheating matters. Is a little cheating equivalent to a lot of cheating? I think people could you'd be within your rights if you want to say, well, any cheating is cheating, and I don't care how much, right? But I think inside of baseball, I think in general, people do pay some attention to severity. Are you doing 90 in the 65? Are you doing 130 in the 65? Right? It's an imperfect analogy, but you know, it roughly works here. And you can assign the numbers however you want, 120, 130, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you know, that being said, what the Astros did in 2017 at home, the camera to tunnel, to the television monitor there, the ability to communicate on any pitch, not just with a runner on base, is widely regarded as being a step above, or maybe even multiple steps above. So, yes, it is factual that other teams were breaking the rules. Other teams have been punished. The Red Sox twice, the Yankees once. I think it's reasonable to believe that other teams were bending the rules probably in a similar fashion. Is it impossible that another team was doing something on the level of the Astros? No, it is not. The reality is we don't have evidence of it, right? It's been years now, and maybe, who knows, someday maybe somebody will say, yeah, we were doing exactly the same thing or maybe something worse. But at this point in time, the Astros 2017 scheme generally is regarded, and I would personally regard it, as being different than what other teams were undertaking.
Evan Drellick of The Athletic with us. His book is Winning Fixes Everything. It is essentially a complete timeline of baseball's sign-stealing scandal. To go off of where you just left off, there is a passage about the Dodgers, the first that I have seen that alleges the Dodgers did something. But as you mentioned, it's finger-pointing to an extent, at least based off of the information that you have, because you write, the Astros had believed the Dodgers had a camera set up in center field with an iPad connected to it with buttons that supposedly could signal which pitch was coming. All I can really go off of, Evan, is we used to have Lance McCullers in studio when I was working over at the Texans flagship station. And I remember he had brought up Game 7 of the World Series and the paranoia that they had about the Dodgers potentially stealing signs. And you also highlight in your book Brian McCann, right after the game, being asked by the MLB Network about it. And there's like an awkward exchange where there's nothing more given by Brian McCann other than suggesting there were a lot of things going on. So the Astros thought the Dodgers were potentially doing something else. This is bringing me to my biggest question about this entire thing. It's surprising that so few people have been willing to put their name on anything involving allegations. And if you read your book, there's a lot of like Red Sox players or Yankee players, but Mike Fiers, at least to my knowledge, Evan, is really the only person who has come out and said, yeah, this was going on. And I'm curious as to why. Did baseball tell players that there would be punishments if they revealed details? Was this potentially a breach of clubhouse ethics if somebody were to go on record and talk about what was going on behind the scenes? Because the silence has been strange. I think to go to what you were saying earlier, okay, if one team's cheating, other teams start cheating and it gets worse and worse and worse. I'm really curious as to why there weren't more people speaking up about this, because it does seem like it was happening to various degrees across baseball, even if we don't have like the hard evidence as to, yes, it was.
Okay, so just on the dot, what does the book have on the Dodgers? There are two buckets, and I kind of already touched on this generally, but I'll explain what it has on the Dodgers specifically. In the book, there are some outside allegations. There's a Red Sox source who relays a story about Jock Peterson of the Dodgers in the 18 World Series, mm-hmm. running into the video room and, you know, asking if they've gotten the signs, and an MLB official was in there, and Red Sox sources pissed off that the MLB didn't do anything about it. They just went over to the other side and warned the Red Sox. So it's an anecdote from another team. It's an outside allegation, ultimately, right? In the book as well, there is, similar to the reporting Ken and I did on the Astros and Red Sox, I did speak with people, two sources directly inside the Dodgers. One confirmed fully, yes, we were using a base runner system in 2017. Another said that everybody was doing it until MLB started to crack down in 18. Again, I push back on the notion of everybody doing it. There just isn't evidence for that, but there's certainly evidence for multiple teams doing it. So there is firsthand inside the Dodgers reporting anonymously in the book. Now, to the question about why are people reticent to speak about it, I think it's kind of self-evident, and I think you're touching on it. It is clubhouse culture, and it's not even just baseball. It's the world in general. People willing to speak up about wrongdoing, it's rare, right? It's the province of whistleblowers. They're not common in corporate settings. It can come at a toll to people's career, reputation. You know, it's not easy to be the one to stick your neck out. And, you know, the original reporting on the Astros that Ken and I did had four sources. One of them was on the record. I think it'd be safe to say that the other three, you know, would qualify as whistleblowers as well, but they did so anonymously. You know, and look, I think it's important in any setting. I think it's more important in the outside world, but when these things have really big consequences for people, that, you know, people are willing to speak out, but it's rare, right? It's a lot of pressure and a lot of spotlight that comes with that, and it's not for the faint of heart, I'll tell you that.
Evan Drellick with us. The book is, again, you can get it on Amazon, Winning Fixes Everything, How Baseball's Brightest Minds Created the Sport's Biggest Mess. And to keep going with just talking about other teams potentially doing it, Evan, I had heard rumored that like the Colorado Rockies were doing something with a Theragun. And to your point, and talking about that clubhouse culture stuff, really few people are going on the record and pointing at things. I guess Josh Reddick, someone on the text line, is pointing out that Josh Reddick had alleged that the Dodgers were doing it while he was there or something like that. Whatever the case, I do you feel like more teams were doing it than just the four? That everyone's doing it, that's a hyperbolistic statement, obviously. Because it was everyone doing steroids during the steroid era. Well, probably not. But it does seem like if one team was doing it successfully, starting with the Yankees, and then the Red Sox, and the Astros obviously take it to an entire degree, and the Dodgers, and then maybe other teams were doing it. You know, the justification, let's leave that to the side. Like, how many other teams have you heard, at least alleged, that they were potentially doing some own version of this operation?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been other, you know, people throw the Brewers around, the Rockies around, the Diamondbacks. You hear all these outside allegations of different teams, right? And again, when that's being referred to, they're talking, to my knowledge, about an allegation of that base runner system, not what the Astros are doing. But the reality is, we don't have evidence of it, right? I think it is based on how we know this spread. It went from veteran Chris Young, the outfielder, former outfielder, now he's a broadcaster, went from the Yankees to the Red Sox, got to the Red Sox, says you guys aren't doing it. You know, Beltran, same thing, comes to Houston. But even if let's just take the hypothetical that five other teams besides the Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers were using a base runner system. Does that then, get the Astros off the hook for doing a system beyond the base runner system? Certainly. Major League Baseball is culpable in the rise of this scandal. They brought the video rooms into the sport. The commissioner had a lot of experience in PEDs and somehow didn't realize what giving these technological tools to teams would do. So, you know, the conditions that allow scientific stealing to rise and spread, they're complex. They're not singular. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, the reality is Astros fans, and any fans of any, you know, team that's caught for something, it boils down to deflection and trying to justify the behavior. And so really at the end of the day, the question is, does another team cheating in any way justify your cheating? You can choose yes or no. And then does how you cheat matter? Does going much further than any other team is known to have matter, right? If people want to stand out there and say, oh, I bet other teams are doing exactly what the Astros are doing or worse. Well, you can say, you know, I can't stop you from holding that belief. But as a reporter, and I think, you know, anybody
Yeah, I get where you're going with here, Evan. It's about the facts and reporting based off of the evidence
you
have.
You've got to have the evidence.
Right. And look, I totally understand that. I know some people listening are not going to understand that. I guess to something you just said a moment ago, baseball really bleeped this one up because they didn't really try to stop this. You mentioned in the book, like, they put no security people in these video rooms. Maybe they should have. It seems pretty obvious, but I think there's also this idea that baseball really just wanted to stick its fingers in its ears, bury its head in the sand, and didn't really want to look any further into what was going on. And, you know, you hear all of these allegations, and sure, they're just allegations or paranoia, which seems to be running rampant across baseball. But it does feel like baseball didn't dig into the other teams to the degree that they dug into the Astros. And I really like this one passage that you had in the book, which sort of highlighted how baseball sort of gave itself a shield for anything else that had happened, especially prior to 2017, by essentially not punishing the Yankees and the Red Sox going into a postseason. It's the biggest time of year. They didn't want it to be a distraction, and it did give them a little bit of plausible deniability for anything that had happened prior to 2017. And I think that's what frustrates a lot of people here. I don't think they're trying to justify the cheating as much as they're saying, well, wait on. Wait a second. What about those bleepers over there who were cheating?
So if you are a commissioner of a sport, you don't want scandals. You know, the book does get to this with the Red Sox. The Red Sox were using the base runner system in 18. So after Ken and I, the Astros story, we have the Red Sox story. So the MLB does a second investigation into the Red Sox. And what they find in that investigation is that it's one rogue employee, a video operator named JT Watkins. Red Sox lose one draft pick compared to the Astros four. Red Sox don't even get fined, right? So it's a much lighter punishment. The behavior, because it's a base runner system, it kind of makes sense that it wouldn't be quite as strong. But, you know, even logically, inside of the precedent that the commissioner had set with the Astros, and even before that, there's all these memos, we're going to hold the manager and the GM accountable. They didn't do that in Boston. Why? I think it is very the entire appearance of the Red Sox investigation is that MLB wanted to quiet this. It wanted it to go away. I think it would be in a pure and idealistic world, you would want MLB to investigate fully, literally every team, I guess, right? I think that's what people would, that what would be fair. The reality is these investigations are never conducted on the basis truly of fairness. The Department of Investigations at MLB serves MLB, serves the owners, serves the interests of the sport. The interest of the sport, from the commissioner's perspective, is making this stuff go away. And so I think it is reasonable for Astros fans to stand there and say, look, MLB made an example of us. I don't think that washes away this question of, well, what they were doing, also the most egregious example of it. To date, that is absolutely the case. But, you know, if you're MLB, you want to deter the behavior going forward, and you want your sport not to be mired in scandal. So in a perfect world, yeah, MLB would have just investigated every lead, moved quickly. Maybe they move when I tell them in 2018, hey, this is what I have. You know, it took 13 months later to get the story done. So I am empathetic to that position Astros fans have. With the caveat, I don't think it erases this sense and what the facts show to date, that what the Astros did was beyond what other teams were doing.
Evan Drellick, again, the book you can get at Amazon or wherever you get your books, Winning Fixes Everything. And yeah, it does make sense that baseball wouldn't want to dig into this. What corporation really wants to dig into any mess they created for themselves? There are a lot of people here who feel that Jose Altuve was railroaded. I personally feel that way, Evan. And I know you were a lot closer to the situation. And there's this idea that Altuve was like the one who was maybe resistant to some of the sign stealing. Maybe the evidence points in another direction there. You, as somebody who works in media and also checks for the facts, you're in a different spot than, say, someone like John Boy, who I really felt slandered without any evidence, Altuve, for this idea that there was a buzzer on him. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, and I know there's a remark that you have from an Astros employee who essentially says, in the moment, I didn't think we were cheating. Afterwards, I wouldn't be surprised by anything, in a nutshell, and I'm paraphrasing there. But it does feel like Altuve got screwed over in terms of his perception and how he'll be viewed for the rest of time. And a lot of it had to do with a video done by a Yankee fan blogger where I feel like there's a pretty good argument to make that there might have been a little bit of bias involved there. I don't know if this book necessarily exonerates Jose Altuve more. I guess, do you get why people feel that Altuve was kind of made the scapegoat of this when perhaps he shouldn't have been?
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to give you another kind of lengthy answer here.
Hit.
When people are so my book, my reporting is in line with what prior reporting has shown, right? We have public statements from Carlos Correa, actually talking to Kent Rosenthal, and others on the team. But look, Altuve was not really a prime user of this system. And so then people say, well, he's getting too much blame. You're making a choice when you say that, because you're basically saying the people who deserve the blame for a cheating system are those who used it the most. There is a question of how do you actually assign the blame? Is it the people who started it? Is it the people who used it the most? Is it the people who didn't use it the most but stood by and let it happen and still enjoyed the results of it, right? And Altuve would fall into that last category, right? He, you know, even if he wasn't using it the most, he didn't stop. And no, nobody else on the team did. Ken and I were not, as you're pointing out, we were not the people who put the buzzer idea out there. The book does address the buzzer. No, I did not find evidence that the Astros used a buzzer system. There is a funny anecdote about how they were using little electric shocks to try to measure people's fast twitch muscles. This was mostly minor league players, and I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, actually, they were using buzzers, but in a different way. You know, there is an anecdote in the book where it's late in the season, 17, and the Astros are coming back home, and Altuve is excited by this, because as he says, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, we're going to get back to the, and he makes a little drum noise, boom, 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 right? So he knows the team's going back home, and the advantage that the team certainly felt it had at home. So, you know, he's the face of the team, period, or one of the faces of the team, period. He was on a team that cheated. Was the buzzer thing fair? Probably not, right? I mean, it wasn't a firm reporting. That's the whole point of what
that's
my
what
job
frustrates
is
a lot of people. Evan, sorry to cut you off there. I think, and it's different for, you know, John Boy Media, which is not, you know, traditional media, but we have sort of entered into a world now where, I mean, someone can put together something on TikTok and that conspiracy theory can develop into Kyrie Irving thinking that the earth is flat, you know, and like using that as actual basis for information. What you guys are doing is different on that front. And I also want to make that clear to people listening. Like, you guys weren't putting that out there. And that's what frustrates me about it, because you don't, if you're John Boy, really have any pushback or things that come after you because of that, like liability or libel or anything like that, because you can sort of claim, well, I'm a fan blog or a fan website, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know that Altuve's, certainly the remaining members of that 2017 team, I know, continue to get booed. It's not like it doesn't stick with him. You know, we'll see when he retires. My general sense is that people still have a lot of reverence for Jose Altuve. But you know, let me offer you one other angle on this, right? One of the great injuries here, the damage that this cheating scheme does, is it entirely opens the door to the imagination. Well, what was that guy doing? Did he know that pitch was cut? How did, you know, you sit there and you wonder, well, if they were doing that, what aren't they capable of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, to an extent, it's self-inflicted. It's the Astros opening the door to people wondering what you're capable of, right? And, you know, so there's a little bit of – Altuve was one member of a team. But, you know, A.J. Hinchcliffe, I think he's talking MLB Network back in, like, 2020. You know, we did it to ourselves, right? And I think – again, I understand. I used to be a massive fan, not of, of the Astros, of the Mets fan growing. I understand the fan mindset, but I think it's all oriented around brushing away. And you know, at the end of the day, you cheated, and this is the world we live in. People are going to speculate, and what did you expect? The people are not going to sit there and go, I wonder what else they were doing?
You're right, Evan, on that front. I mean, and as someone who grew up a Patriots fan, like, I'm sort of used to this. I'm sort of tone deaf to it. But as someone who's moved out here, I will admit, becoming an Astros fan and seeing how this team has won the second ring, I think for a lot of people, we're all like, all right, well, at the very least, the second one is legit in some way, shape, or form. Evan, I really appreciate your time, man, especially with the mix-up that we had. My fault over time. And again, the book, Winning Fixes Everything, How Baseball's Brightest Minds Created Sport's Biggest Mess. You can catch the rest of Evan's work at The Athletic. Evan, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Paul.
That is Evan Drellick, everybody. We'll react to some of what he said next. This is The Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Looking for the perfect base camp to explore Moab's stunning landscapes? Welcome to Spanish Trail RV Park, just 3 miles south of downtown Moab. Enjoy spacious pull-through sats with full hookups, free Wi-Fi, and cable TV. Relax in our heated pool and spa after a day of adventure. Clean restrooms, laundry facilities, and a pet-friendly environment make your stay comfortable. With breathtaking views of Red Rock Cliffs and the La Salle Mountains, Spanish Trail RV Park offers a serene retreat. Plus, you're just minutes away from Arches and Canyonlands National Parks. Experience the beauty and convenience of Spanish Trail RV Park, your home away from home in Moab. Book your stay today at SpanishTrailRVPark.com.